Here at the Ranger Report Podcast, we only represent products we believe in. As you've heard over the past year plus, we've been running our Walton's commercial. I've been using Walton's products for a long time now, and let me tell you, they're some of the best seasonings I've ever used. One of my staples to make at my house are pork chops, and their ultimate pork chop and roast rub has gotten more compliments than anything that I've ever used. For burgers, their better burger seasoning is delicious, and I only use that on my burgers. Again, tons of compliments. They have all kind of seasonings that you can imagine. They have barbecue sauce and the thick kind, not the watery kind at all. If you're into wild game, they have seasons and rubs for that as well. Don't forget their line of sausage casings and all the tools to make your own meat products, from sausage and jerky to grinders and more. Walton's really is a one-stop shop for everything but the meat. If you like tips and tricks and videos on how to do a whole lot of things when it comes to cooking, then you should go to www.meatgistics.com. Go to www.waltonsinc.com today and start shopping, and tell them the Ranger Report Podcast sent you. Walton's, everything but the meat.
This is Bruce Bochy, and you're listening to the Ranger Report.
The Ranger Report. Yeah, the Ranger Report. Inside scoop. Listen to the Ranger Report. Oh, here we go.
This is the Ranger Report Podcast. News, insights, predictions, interviews, and information about the World Series champion Texas Rangers, from the major leagues to the minor leagues. And now, here are your hosts, Ben Dieter, Tyler Nielsen, and CJ Berryman.
Welcome to the Ranger Report Podcast. Always, always, always brought to you by Walton's. Walton's, everything but the meat. Also brought to you by Dallas Sports Nation. And we are your Texas Rangers source on the Fans First Sports Network. We are coming to you from the Comfort Air Online Studio. I am CJ Berryman, and we have Tyler back. Good to have you back, bro.
Hey, it's good to be back, guys. Sorry I missed a few. Had some personal issues going on with me, and finally got that taken care of. So good to be back on.
Yep. No better way to get away from things than to do a podcast and just talk bullshit baseball.
There you go.
Rangers baseball. So we'll kick it off here pretty quick with the series that's going on right now. This is Saturday night. It's at 7:15 p.m. The Rangers are taking on the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. And Andrew Heaney pitched last night, Tyler. And to me, that was just – it wasn't a good matchup for Heaney, because – the Braves are extremely hot, and they are right-handed heavy with a whole lot of talent. Ronald Acuña is just a terror. Doesn't matter where he is on the field. So just kind of talk about last night's game. And right now the Rangers are down 3-2, and the Braves are getting that pitching count up pretty high on Nate Eovaldi as we speak right now.
Yeah, it was, it's a 3-game series, and coming into this one, I thought game one would be the toughest for the Rangers. Charlie Morton taking the mound tonight, I could see us taking that one. And then tomorrow's game, of course. But, like you said, the matchup wasn't in the favor of the Rangers. That lineup, like you said, with the Braves, they're just so good. They're so patient. You know, it reminds you a lot of the Rangers team last year. Even this year, you know, the Rangers work counts and stuff like that. Really hasn't produced the wins that the Braves are getting. But as far as Andrew Heaney, you know, we just need the guy to muscle up as much as he can to get through this break, you know, because from what I'm hearing, Scherzer's coming back possibly in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy to think about with the injury that he's had, and
herniated, you know, his back surgery and
yeah.
Wow.
If we can just get, you know, I mean, it's baseball. A loss is a loss. You know, unfortunately, he had to go up against the Braves, and he's not the only pitcher that's had to go against the Braves that's got roughed up by any means, you know. So let's give the Braves the benefit of the doubt. They are a good team. You know, I have them winning the World Series in my preseason prediction. Not saying that's going to happen, but I don't think he's going to stay in the rotation as it is anyways.
No.
So it's one of those deals. What are your thoughts about it?
Nah, and that's one thing that he showed last year. I don't care where you put me. I can be a swing man. I can be a bullpen arm. I don't care. I'm going to do the best I can.
Right.
So that's one thing about that I love about Heaney is he's completely unselfish. He picked up the contract to come back to the Rangers. He didn't have to. It was
that's a complete correct.
Player option, and he picked it up to come back to the Rangers and be a part of hopefully what's going to turn into a second World Series run. So, yeah, he'll be the first one to go to the bullpen when Scherzer comes back. Dane Dunning can't take him out of the rotation at all right now.
I agree.
I know we're without Cody Bradford for the moment, unfortunately, but he's pitched fantastic. And now we're going to transition over to some other big news. Speaking on that, Jack Leiter made his professional debut on Thursday, and there was some good, there was some bad, and he was immediately DFA'd. Obviously, it was just a spot start, kind of a cup of tea, and he went 3 2/3. He did give up 8 hits and 7 runs, 3 walks and 3 Ks, but it looked like very good first inning, and then after that, awful, like this is going to be a super short day. But then he went out there and battled, and that's what I wanted to see. You know, get out there, get your ass kicked, and see how you come back from that. And then he battled, and then of course they, you know, got a few more runs off of him around that third inning, and then, you know, chased him from the game. But the Rangers did up winning 9-7. What do you think about how his start looked, and did you see what you wanted to see, Tyler?
I did. You know, like you said, the first inning was he looked good. He came across, you know, that second and third where he got into some trouble, which is gonna happen. You know, your MLB debut, it's not gonna be all, it's all however what I'm looking for the word
peaches and cream.
Peaches and cream. There you go. But if you really think about it, he could have got out of that third inning with only giving up 4 runs if it wasn't by the mistake by Leody Taveras. I mean, we talk about Leody possibly being a Gold Glove player. He just misplayed that ball. If you look at it on
playing a lot of balls this year,
he had a few
last year, but I mean, damn, that was a ball he should have caught. And so that
kind of
called the center field. Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of sat back on it. And then all of a sudden, then he takes off full speed. And then it seemed like he got to the warning track, and the farther he got into the warning track, he kind of got timid. I mean, like he was going to run into the wall, and that's where he kind of let up. And immediately, Leody makes that play 9 out of 10 times. But in this case, it didn't, and those runs came in. So you look at the box score and you say, okay, Jack Leiter threw 3 innings and he gave 7 earned runs. That's what the media is going to talk about. But Jack Leiter pitched a lot better.
Like on the stat book, but when you watch the game, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he pitched a lot better, in my personal opinion, watching it on TV. He pitched a lot better than that. I thought it was a great game for him to make his major league debut coming in, playing at Detroit, you know, being the pitcher's ballpark. You know, Detroit's bats hadn't been alive in that series, unfortunately, or Jack Leiter kind of came apart. You know, their bats did come alive. So I think Jack Leiter is going to be just fine. He got a taste of the big leagues. He's going to go down. He knows what it takes now, and we will see Jack Leiter back in the majors before you know it, pretty soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I know you watched the post game too, with talking with him. He said, you know, I'm not happy about this at all.
Right.
He said, but I am better. I will be better.
Be better.
So, and obviously optioned out Owen White, looking to possibly make the next start in that spot in the rotation as we move forward. And we also had another new Rangers debut happen on Monday, and it was a very, very good debut of one Michael Lorenzen making his first start, got ramped up, and there was no pitching count restrictions, nothing like that. Michael Lorenzen went 5 innings, gave up 3 hits. He did walk 5, struck out 4, was able to battle through, get through 5 scoreless innings, and he earned the win. So talk about what you thought about what you saw from Michael Lorenzen. And before you do that, I'll just say his stuff looks real, real good right now.
It does. And yeah, he was filthy out there, you know, for his debut and to come against his former team, you know, where he made the All-Star team on last year. He said before the game, or you know, he didn't talk to any of the players that day. For the Tigers, he refused to talk to any of his former teammates or anything like that. He said, I got plenty of time after that for the next 2 days to catch up to former teammates. He said, I was focused on coming out here, getting the job done. And I liked his approach on the mound. To me, he pitches quick. the players surrounding him, you know, of course, infielders and outfielders, how that works, he being a former pitcher. Players enjoy that. You know, they want to get the three up, three down and get off the field. You know, they want to get their bats going. And he came out there. He was throwing strikes. Didn't really fall behind in the count much.
Yeah,
and
yeah, despite the four walks, it didn't, you know, seeing that stat in the box score, it didn't feel like he walked four.
Yeah. Like, you know, you'd be like, oh, he got on, you know, he walked, but you know, I remember there was one or two of the walks that I want to say he was up in the count, like 1-2, you know, I mean, he was up in the count. And then, I'm not in that game. I'm not going to question the umpiring, because with the umpiring the way it's been lately, it was actually pretty good in that game. So, he left some runners on, but obviously he got out of the jam, you know, whatever it was, it didn't affect him by any means. He got on there and he focused on the next batter and went 5 scoreless innings. Hopefully he can build on that, because we really do need it right now. Because our rotation definitely needs as much as we can get, because our bullpen, you know how that's going, and we'll get into that.
Yeah, and I mean, just hang in there. I mean, that's what we said to begin the season.
Stay afloat.
Starting rotation, just hang in there. I mean, the team overall, just hang in there. Because yeah. I think, and we kind of talked about this before the season started too, they might not have to make many trades, you know, probably a couple bullpen pieces, but might not have to make any, because essentially you're acquiring pitchers such as Jacob DeGrom and Tyler Mahle around the All-Star break. So,
and you're getting Max Scherzer back
and
too.
And you're getting Max Scherzer back sooner rather than later. I hope he doesn't rush it. I mean, he's already way ahead of schedule. So let him do his thing. Are you shocked that Mad Max is able to come back from herniation surgery? What was that, in November?
Yeah, they said he wouldn't be back till late June. And honestly, I'll be completely honest on this one. If you would have told me, like, are you surprised Max Scherzer's coming back this soon? And I'd been like, no, of course not. It's Mad Max. That's why they call him that. But in this case, yeah, I'm a little shocked when I heard he was amping it up. And I was like, man, don't rush this, Matt. You know, don't. But from what I'm hearing, he threw a live session, a 40 pitch count the other day, and the players say he's filthy. I mean, he looks like he's ready to go right now, and he's going to throw another live session. So I don't think the Rangers are going to do anything. Actually, I know the Rangers aren't going to do anything to jeopardize. They're going to take their time with this.
Yeah.
But I mean, from what I'm hearing, it's going to be early May. I mean, so cool. The more the merrier.
All right, and then we had another debut, not a Rangers debut or a Major League debut, but tonight, the return of Nathaniel Lowe. Obviously resulted in Jared Walsh being designated for assignment, and the way Jared Walsh started the season, it sure seemed like he was going to make a case to stay on the roster somehow, some way. However, he got really cold. We'll see if he accepts the assignment, or elects free agency, or however he went. It's in his court now. But Nathaniel Lowe coming back today, and he drew a walk against Charlie Morton tonight in his first at bat. And it's so good to see Nathaniel Lowe back in the lineup, isn't it?
It really is. And he also scored a run off that walk. So that was good to see. I wish Walsh nothing but the best. He came in at the beginning of the season and surprised a lot of Ranger fans, including myself. I would say he surprised you, CJ, for what he did. He was on fire. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't. He kind of dwindled out towards 5-6 games into it. And luckily, you know, we do have Nathaniel Lowe back. I hope he can get it. You know, Nathaniel Lowe just brings a lot to that clubhouse. It's not just his bat and his defense and all that. He is he's a team guy.
A clubhouse presence. That's the best way to put it. Yeah.
Yes. And I think the players are going to feed off this now. You know, I mean, once you get your guys, your veterans back like that, you're going to start seeing a change in this. You know, the Rangers are missing a lot from what they had last year. I know it's the same team basically on paper, but a lot of these guys have just been sitting on the bench. They haven't been playing. So we're getting them one by one, and eventually this team will come together. I promise you, Ranger fans, this team will finally gel together. And I don't even know why the Ranger fans are freaking out right now at 11-10. I'm like, you know, if you would have told me with all these injuries and we're 11-10 and still leading the AOS, we've led the AOS from day one, just like last year, people. So
chill the hell
everybody out. Pump the brakes. And CJ would say, we're going to be just fine and get to the All-Star break. And a lot of things you'll see the team that CY and Bochy had in store for us for the second half. But for right now, we're in great shape, I think.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, the closer that Wellen Spores is down to. And then, yeah, Leclerc, for whatever reason, he just can't start a season well. He just can't.
I know.
So Bochy's been putting him in lower leverage situations, which was like what he did last year. Yeah. And, you know, he's starting to come around. You can see it. And, you know, another shot in the arm, and I mean, this surprised the hell out of all three of us, me, you, and Ben, and probably everybody in Rangers Nation. Josh Smith is a different player this year than he was last year, and it is not even clear. He had a base hit tonight, and it looked like it was just a check swing hit. I think he did it on purpose because they were playing so hard for him to pull.
Right, yeah.
And I think he stuck the bat out there and poked it into left field because there was nobody over there.
Yeah, I listened to the last podcast you and Ben did. I couldn't join that one, but I think you had mentioned, you know, his stance is different too. You're referring to his stance. I think he's a little bit lower. Yeah, lower and stuff like that. And you know, that pays dividends to the coaching staff. If you really think about it, making these, it just shows you it's not just the players, doing this stuff. It's the coaching staff all the way around. You know, the hitting coach and all this stuff, making minor adjustments, whatever it is, because I was looking right before we got on the podcast. You know, you already drove in a run tonight, as you've seen. Batting 315.
Yeah, hitting over
10. Hitting 315. I mean, that's, you know, last year you're like already has, 10 and 11 RBIs? I think he had 15 all of last year.
Well, then he hit under the Mendoza line last year.
Yeah, underneath the Mendoza line, exactly.
It wasn't a small sample size either. That was he played and got plenty of at-bats last year for it to be like, maybe that's not going to work out like we talked about before the season, but it's working out. And it's kind of funny how both he and Zeke, who I'm going to put both of them in the category, both of them are right now the most important players on the Rangers because of injuries and the way their versatility and they can fill in. And those are two guys that we got in the Joey Gallo trade.
Exactly. And it's funny that, you know, I mean, I think me and you, and if Ben was on here tonight, I think he would admit, you know, all three of us were wrong. You know,
absolutely.
We didn't talk about Josh Smith coming into the season. The guy we did talk about was Ezekiel Duran taking over third. And we were like, man, this guy, he's got to be big, you know, and all of a sudden Duran don't even play anymore because of the way Josh Smith is performing. Yep. And it's like, that's all we talked about on one of the podcasts pretty much was, you know, Duran's got to, you know, now that Young's out and now all we're talking about is Josh Smith, which is a good thing.
No, yeah, it is a great thing. And I know Duran's not hot right now, but I don't expect that to last.
I don't either.
Duran, he's a better player than that. We all know. Dude, there's at least half the teams around the league would love to have him as their starting shortstop every day.
Well, it's like Leody. You know, Leody ain't batting the best right now, but that bat's going to come around at some point. I could just see it when he's up there. I just know it's about to click. And every game I keep on saying, it's going to click for him this game.
You're finally seeing what I have always seen. And when he turns it on, I mean, he's a different ball player. I mean, he's upper echelon. He's better than the, you know, your average Joe. He's a difference maker. And
he is. He really is.
When that happens, God forbid, God bless the AL because.
Well, and not only him, I mean, the entire lineup in general. I mean, Corey Seager's not off to the greatest start. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still being Corey Seager. He's almost up to 300, but I'm saying as far as power and the number wise, he's not up there. But, you know,
he's essentially Tyler going through spring training right now because he had.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had talked about that. And wait until Wyatt Langford gets that first home run off his shoulders. And I mean, Evan Carter, he's batting, 188, I think, coming into this game.
But still has like a 350 on base percentage.
Yeah, OPS, yeah.
Walks. And so and when Evan Carter gets hot, he gets real hot. And it's usually coming after a good long slump. Now, the way he recovered from it was, 0-15 to start the season? But he still had
something like that, yeah.
360 OBP. And mm-hmm. then started hitting the ball well. And then now he's in another swoon. But when he comes out of these, it's in a big way.
Yeah, and he went through that issue tinkering with those bats, you know, the counterweight and all that stuff. And I think he was just trying to find his rhythm. And I was like, just get back to your fundamentals, get back to your basics. And that's kind of, I think that's what the coaches kind of told him. Because he came into that series, I want to say it was the, Was it the Houston series where his bat finally started coming alive?
Yeah, he had multiple hits. I think I'd have to look.
I know it was the home series. That's why I'm saying I think it was the Astros.
Yeah, and he started looking a whole lot better. He's still as patient as ever, and I'm not worried about him. And to be honest, right now I'm not worried about any part of the club. To me, it's this part of the season right now. Bochy's figuring out what pieces to put where.
Yeah,
and to see, I mean, I love it. It's a Roger Staubach saying, and I've probably said it on this podcast too many times, and everybody's listening is going to be rolling their eyes, but you know, he liked to be surrounded by tea bags because they perform the best when the water's the hottest. And so,
and that's a great point. And
Bochy's putting these guys in there. It doesn't matter how old they are. Wyatt Langford, right from the get go. You were right on that. I didn't think he'd be on the major league roster, period. And then bam, he don't care. He's like, all right, you're good enough. You're in, you know,
and he's one of those old school pitchers.
If you're not good enough, then you're out. It's that simple.
Well, what you got to love about Bochy too is you have these guys up here. You know, Evan Carter, you know, starts off the season over 15, like you said, or over whatever it was. Ain't hitting the bar or anything. And, you know, these younger managers these days, most likely or possibly, you know, have that conversation where, hey, let's get him back in the minors, maybe get a few more adjustments. But no,
Bochy probably had zero conversations.
He had zero conversations. He didn't even think about it. The last of his concerns was like sending him down. Ain't going to happen.
Nope. And we're going to take a quick break. And on the back end, we will come back with more because there is a lot of Rangers talk to talk about here on your source of the Texas Rangers Fan Sports Network. Welcome back to the Ranger Report podcast, coming to you from the Comfort Air Online studio. I am CJ Behrman here with Tyler Nielsen, and we are resuming our talks about what's going on with the Texas Rangers right now, and we are going to transition over to the bullpen, which has kind of been fluid. Obviously, we've spoken about Leclerc. Just for whatever reason, he just can't start a season strong. He just can't. And Bochy's put him in, you know, lower leverage situations, which is fine. And if this was a year where we didn't come off, I mean, even a long playoff run, which we had, and then a World Series championship, which we had, and seen what Leclerc is capable of in big moments, I'm not super concerned. I'm really not. I think that in the long term, when you look at the, you know, the goal, the end of the line, I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope this is a carbon copy of last year, how he started off slow and bounced back very nicely, as we know, really nicely in the postseason. I don't know. I'm iffy on Leclerc. I don't know. Yeah, was it about a week and a half ago, CJ? I finally lost my shit, and I finally said I'm completely done with the dude, and I was in one of those moods. I was beyond pissed, put it that way. And I like what Bochy is doing with him. I like, I think it started off, he's coming in maybe the fifth or sixth inning. I thought that was good. And I've noticed though, now Bochy is starting to revert back a little bit later and more of the seventh and eighth inning role. He's getting out of the jam. So, I mean, he's letting runners on maybe one or two, but he's still getting out. He's not giving up runs. Can't ask for more than that, but I think Leclerc, that's an iffy topic, CJ, with me.
I know.
It's just one of those deals because I know how good the dude is. I know how good the dude is. He's got filthy. He's filthy. He's absolutely filthy. But it reminds me, I mean, he's got that control issue like Chapman at points. But then when he finds it, like Chapman, I've never seen Chapman always consistent. Like there was points where Leclerc last year was consistent. You knew when Leclerc came in, you might as well pack your shit and start walking out of the stadium because that game was over. Right now, at the beginning of the season, he comes in. I'm like, yeah, we lost this shit.
So he started the season as the closer and a welcome addition. And this is a guy that Tyler and I talked about when we signed him Kirby Yates is currently closing out ball games, and he, speaking of filthy stuff, he don't throw 96, 97, 98. It's 93, 94. And we thought it was forkball whenever we signed him and we were watching video. You remember that? It looks like a forkball grip, but it is actually a split finger. He just throws it that hard. Get that
correct.
He's got big enough fingers, I guess, to get around the ball that much farther than just natural fork or natural splitter. So that thing is a filthy pitch, and he's got the slider to go with it. He's looked really damn good, Tyler.
He has looked really good. And, you know, that's one of those things, you know, coming into the offseason, all we were talking about is getting Josh Hader. And we also talked about, hey, you pick up a few pieces for the price of Hader and talk about Robertson. You talk about Robertson's been good all year. I mean, he's had one bad outing, I believe, and gave him some runs, but that's going to happen. I mean, every pitcher is going to give up runs. I've never seen a pitcher go the whole season with a 0.00 ERA.
That would be an all-time MLB record.
So every pitcher is going to give up runs. They've been great additions, including Lats. Lats has been good. But going back to your point about Kirby Yates, Kirby Yates has came in. He never looks like he's under pressure. He comes in and grabs the ball, goes up there, throws strikes, gets out of the inning. And I like a pitcher that comes in, doesn't show any emotion, you know, just goes up there, does her job, and he's out of the thing. You know, last year with Chapman, he would come in sweating profusely. You knew what you were going to get out of Chapman when he came in. His whole jersey was soaked. And Kirby Yates, our bullpen is going to be fine. We're battling injuries, of course, like with Sports being out.
Burke being a dumbass and punching the wall.
That was so stupid. At first, I was hearing it was Heaney that did that, and I was like, what the heck? I was like, Heaney? And then I found out it was Brock Burke. But
it was his right hand, his non-throwing hand. But
still. It was, but he's still got a catch. I don't know. Anyway, from what I'm understanding, I think he's out, 4 to 6 weeks?
He's going
to
be out a little bit. Stupid. Go punch a pillow, not a wall.
Yeah, that's just – you got to be better than that. I read an article about our statement, you know, Bruce Bochy commented on it, you know, had a few words about it. And he said he hadn't got to spoke with Burke about it, but he said he got to make better choices in this situation. You know, I know they're MLB players or humans that, you know, emotions get to you at this level. And he let the best get to him. And just another one that is on the IL for us, CJ, at this point.
Yeah, but luckily, and let's back to Kirby Yates just real quickly before we transition to David Robertson. Kirby Yates is right now is 2-0. He has pitched in 8 games, 0 ERA, 2 saves. His WHIP is 0.46.
Pretty incredible. If you would have told me that. Go look at Josh Hader's stats compared to Kirby Yates. And I'm not going to say by the end of the year it's going to be vice versa by any means, because we've seen the pitcher Hader is. But
We talked about it with Eric Nadell, and he said the same shit. I mean, for the price of Hader, you can go get another pitcher, which you got Lorenzen, you got Kirby Yates, you got David Robertson. And that's correct. Not even the price of Hader.
Correct. You're right.
Yeah. At Jake Lats, that's a guy back in 2021. I noticed everybody was talking about Cole Wynn, and I'm sitting there watching this Jake Lats guy just
mow it up.
And so now you're seeing what Lats is capable of, 97, 98 from the left. And it's like, he reminds me of your boy,
Cole.
Same kind of stuff, Cole Reagan.
Yeah, he does. So, and I was going to bring that up to you. I was going to call you one night, and I was going to be like, hey, who does Jake Lats remind you of? And I knew you would have it figured out, though. I was like, why am I even going to call him? I was like, CJ will know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But he does. He's got filthy stuff. And that's crazy, though. I mean, yeah, but Cole Wynn, I mean, let's look where they were drafted. You know, Lats compared to Cole Wynn. You know, Cole Wynn was always a prodigy kind of player for the Rangers. We've always talked about him, you know, like kind of like Jack Leiter. And you always hear about the big guys, you know, coming up in your system, but you never really hear about these other guys. And I'm not saying Lats was on the latter end of any of this. I mean, he's a good pitcher by every means. But, yeah, he's been a nice addition to that bullpen. And it's nice to see. I mean, we've needed it at times like this. You know, you got guys that have came in at times, you know, like we talked about Leclerc, and I'm giving him shit. But there's other guys that have came in and have not performed well coming out of the pen this year.
Right. And now that's a perfect transition to old David Robertson, who learned his cutter from one Mariano Rivera, because Robertson actually was a setup guy for the Yankees for many, many, many years. And so, but he doesn't have he's not just a cutter guy. He's got a curveball. He's got a four seamer. He's got a slider. I mean, he's more than just a one or two trick pony. David Robertson, I mean, that was a hell of an under the radar signing. He's got a 1.69 ERA right now in 10 games, a whip of 103 in 10 and two thirds innings with 10 strikeouts. So, I mean, he's been phenomenal. I mean, what an addition that was.
It really was. And to have him come in, you know, maybe in the eighth, and then have Kirby Yates, two additions that weren't on the Rangers last year. And you brought up a really good point. You know, it's a 1.69 ERA. I think that was all in one game that he gave up. I think all of the runs that he's given up all season, if I'm right, I might be wrong. I think it came in one game. But still, he's the type of pitcher, though, that comes in. It's night and day difference with him and Kirby Yates. He does show the emotion. He throws a ball, and he's talking to himself. He wants it right.
He's kind of Max Scherzer like.
He does, and that's what I was going to bring up. And he reminds me just the way he's talking to himself constantly. He has the fire under him, and then you bring in Kirby Yates, that just kind of just sits there and looks at a baseball and just throws it. Which every team has those players. You have that one guy that's real fiery and wants to get going, and I guess we have two of them now on our team with Max Scherzer. But yeah, he's been a great addition. And you know, I feel comfortable with them guys coming in. I can fully attest to that. When those guys come in, I'm like, I feel good. When I see Robertson warming up, I feel good. When I see Kirby Yates warming up, I feel good. When I see Lats warming up at this point, I feel good. When I see Jose Leclerc warming up, I don't feel good. I don't, brother. I'm sorry.
All right. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine to feel that way right now. Hopefully we are talking. We're just kind of giving folks a prequel to, hey, this is him just – for whatever damn reason, having to warm up to the baseball season. And it's funny with David Robertson. He's my age. He's 39. He's still out there throwing 95-mile-an-hour cutters.
Guys, younger than me.
Yeah, by 1 year. But
yeah, but still, that's crazy. But I mean, you're throwing 95. I couldn't imagine. My arm would be – I mean, it would have already fallen off by now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have had that just – trying to throw that hard one time.
Yeah, that's just, it just amazes me.
I'd immediately have to have a bionic arm put back on.
Yeah, it gives you, I mean, it's also like these guys like Max Scherzer, you know,
Scherzer's 40.
Scherzer's 40. I know, that's what I'm saying. And then look at him, what he throws. And, you know, people are like, you know, I've heard people ask me, Tyler, why does he just not give it up? I mean, this ain't his first injury. I'm like, because
he's still badass.
He's still at the top of his game, people. Why would you hang up your cleats if you're still at the top of the game when you know you can come in and you're still the best of the best?
Still one of the still.
You want to walk away whenever
you, pitchers.
Yeah, you want to walk away when a time when you're like, okay, it's finally caught up to me. And when that phrase in sports and in the sports world, what you know, it's finally caught up to me. That's saying the players have finally caught up to me. I ain't the player. I'm not above them players anymore. They're at my level now. They're better than I am. Those players can't say that right now with Max Scherzer. There is some players out there, you know, some younger players that could say, hey, I'm up there with Max Scherzer. But that's far few in between.
Up there with him, but they can't say they're better than him.
Yes, exactly. And that's why he's not going to hang it up. And I don't see him retiring after this year, regardless if the Rangers go on and win back-to-back.
I could actually kind of see the Rangers giving him another contract and him maybe coming back. He looks like he's having fun out there. I mean, he's having a blast with all the guys in the – when you look in the dugout, he's out there just hanging out with guys and talking. And I mean, damn, that was a hell of a trade, not just for obviously his ability, which we actually haven't seen full Max Scherzer ability just yet.
That's exactly right. You make a great point on that.
I think that, you know, get him in and don't expect his first start to be lights out. Would it surprise me if he does go lights out in the first start? No, it would not surprise me at all. But I mean, that's not what I'm going to expect. But, you know, let him get five starts under his belt and then watch him go after that. And one more guy we got to talk about before we close her down here. Jose Urena, who has been another welcome addition, a guy signed another the radar veteran signing, coming in and really doing a great job in that long relief role. He's pitching 7 games, 15 and a third innings. He's got electric stuff. For whatever reason, in this point in his career, up to this point, it just hasn't clicked. But he has filthy stuff. His two-seam fastball's nasty. His slider's nasty. All of his stuff is nasty, but he just never had the control. And now it looks like he, at least right now, he does, Tyler. And, that's been a welcome addition into that bullpen at this point.
It's a prime example of what you said. He's another one. I like the word you used with Jose. Use the word electric. And that's what he has. He has electric stuff. He comes in there. His stuff is filthy. He makes a lot of the batters look silly, and that's hard to do at this level. No, I was never a professional player by any means, people, but I know the game inside and out by watching it and following it since me and CJ were in diapers. But he's another one. You know, if those guys can continue and we get everybody healthy, I think, you know, previously we said at the beginning of the show, I think Heaney will eventually join that pen coming out, which we've seen last year. He's going to do whatever it takes.
Two long relief / swing rolls with a lefty and a righty. So,
right.
That's a win-win.
And really, if you think about it, who's to say how much we're going to use up that bullpen at that time? You're getting Jacob DeGrom back. You're getting Scherzer back. You're getting Tyler back. You're getting all these guys back. And I'm not saying, you know, we don't know what to expect when these guys do come back, but I'm just going off their resume, what we know these pitchers can do. And if that's the case, watch out. Like you said, watch out, AL, because we will be dangerous.
And it's funny, like we've said earlier, the trade deadline is going to come for the Rangers when those players come off the IL. They're not going to have to go deal for those guys. They're already on your roster, and they are coming. So. Yeah. It's a promising thing to have, and Rangers fans, just chill out. We all knew to start the season, we said we need to hang on, stay above 500, just hang in there.
And what are we doing?
Doing exactly what we told you what we wanted them and what they needed to do before the season started. So calm down.
Exactly. Good point. Because yeah, I think a lot of Ranger fans, we're coming off a World Series, and they're expecting us to be like, shit, go the out best team in baseball coming. Yeah, go out there and
win games in a row like the Rays did last
year. Yeah, you know, winning percentage at 750 right now. It's ridiculous.
That's a point right there. Everybody thought the Rays were the best thing since sliced bread last year when they won, was it 15? They were 15-0 to start the season?
Yeah, 15 or 16-0 to start the season. They were like,
how'd that play out for them?
Yeah, ask the Rangers.
Yeah. It ended up with the Rangers knocking their ass out in the playoffs in the first round.
Yeah, so. And it just shows you, you know, it's like all that matters, punch your ticket. It, you know, a prime example, another prime example. I keep on using that word tonight. Why? I don't fucking know, but I keep on using the word. But I guess it feels good. But you look at last year, the Rangers weren't playing the best ball heading into the postseason.
No.
But they got hot at the right time in the postseason and went in and beat the three best teams in the American League. At the time, off of record-wise, if you look at it, they beat the Rays, they beat Baltimore, and they beat the Houston Astros.
200-win teams.
Two, yeah.
And then, exactly. And then the Astros.
And then the Astros.
There you go.
I mean, if that's not enough said to make you change your mind or whatever, I don't know what else to tell the Ranger fans out there. Mm-mm. This team, right now, you should be happy, Ranger fans, to be hovering above 500 at this point. We could be in the cellar like the Houston Astros, and the Houston Astros are not a bad team. They're going through injuries too.
They're a team, and they're going to be back. Believe me.
Yeah, and they're going through injuries too. We could be in the same boat as them. And people don't understand that. You know, we're greedy as Ranger fans right now. That's the thing about it. We're like, well, you know, we laugh about the Astros. It could very well be the Texas Rangers right now.
Could have, but it's not.
But it's not.
That's what Rangers fans need to take home and when they go to bed tonight, think of and just take a deep breath. Hey, the Rangers could be where the Astros are.
Or just go to ESPN.
Same shit.
Or just go to MLB.com or ESPN and click standings since day one and seeing, the Rangers are still in first. The Rangers are still in first.
Exactly.
I mean, AL West has been beating up on each other. You know, I mean, we don't have a huge lead, but it's only 11 games into the, or 20 something games into the season, 21, 22. So, hey, if you would have told me right now with all the injuries that we were this depleted and we're still in first place, I guarantee any Ranger fan would have taken.
I was hoping that we would be in this spot with everybody healthy.
Why is that? I mean? Why is that though?
Because of the depth and the way it's the team's built, with Spores, you know, Spores getting hurt, an ineffective Leclerc, you know, Wyatt Langford, rookie, you couldn't expect. I mean, he's a big league ball player, period. And you know, the struggles of it. I mean, there's so many it, without DeGrom, without Scherzer, without Malley, I can go on and on and on. I was happy before this, before
right.
Brock Burke, before Spores went down, you know, before Bradford went down, you know, this was where I wanted us to be competing.
Yeah, I think what the one that really hurt me was when Bradford went down, because you could see the potential with Bradford. He was just getting into
that, like, was coming off an amazing start too.
I know. And he's not only just that, he's pitched good all year. I mean, he's been consistent. You know, that was one of those guys. Like I said, it's early in the season, but you know, when Bradford took the mound, I was like, man, I feel good about this kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I felt good about him last year being in the five hole, you know, five spot as the pitcher. And we talked about that, you know, last year. We were like, yeah, we feel comfortable with him, you know, being our fifth pitcher. Ended
up being the number two.
Yeah, but now he's like the stuff. I mean, it's just completely night and day with that kid. And he won't be on the IL long. I think it was an oblique strain. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it maybe he just needed a little rest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was a little sore, and they were like, okay, you know, young pitcher, he's pitching for the first time in a full season in the big leagues. Let's not take any chances. Let's IL him.
Yeah, and it's funny, coming to this season, we were having this issue. I remember us all talking about, we were like, what happens whenever we do get all of our, you know, big dogs back, our starting rotation? What are you going to do with all these other guys? Well, now we're sitting back here and saying, shit, this is why you have to have depth in this league. Because look at these injuries. You got Bradford that's down. You got Henny that's not pitching well. You've got Dane Dunning that's been pretty good this year. I mean,
Evaldi's a rock, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, and I think our starting rotation by the end of the year is going to be Evaldi, Dane Dunning. You're going to have Scherzer, DeGrom, and Molly. I think that's going to be our top five. And you know what? You can always go to a six-man rotation. You could have Bradford in there. And I don't have one problem with that going to a six-man rotation.
That's going to be a great thing to have in the latter half of the season.
Right.
Bradford, Heaney, and Urania, who you don't have to have your starters go out there and throw 100 pitches. Go out there
correct.
And have an effective 70, 75, and then bring in one of the long man.
Yeah, you know, it's just like bringing in another starting pitcher. Exactly right.
So, I mean, and that's going to help the guys coming off injury. I think you're going to see a lot of that with DeGrom, with Malley, maybe to start with Scherzer. I don't know. It wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he went out there and threw 100 pitches in his first start. But
And it's one of those deals, CJ. This is kind of a blessing in disguise if you really think about it, with all these injuries piling up on the Rangers, in my opinion, because at least this is happening early. We already knew some of the injuries, you know, the surgeries happened last year. And they already took care of it. And we knew at the beginning of the season, these guys weren't going to be ready. But you look at it as a Ranger fan, as a baseball fan, you look at the Rangers and you say, you have all these guys coming back. And if they can maintain their health, the Rangers are right back to where they were, if not better than last year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You are exactly right. And with that, we will wrap it up. Thank you for listening to this Saturday night episode. It will be posted on a Sunday, but hope your Sunday goes well. And while you have a nice Sunday breakfast or Sunday lunch or brunch or whatever the hell it is that you like to have, listen to the Range Report podcast while you eat it. So we appreciate it very much. Tyler, damn good to see you again. At
you too, brother.
Shaven, not looking like... I don't know, like you're sleeping outside or something.
Looking like you could just say that. Looking, yeah, we'll just keep it that way.
All right.
Yeah, it feels a lot better too, man. Yeah, me and Jamie had date night, so we have date night once a week now. We do it on the weekend. We have a movie night and all that stuff. And so I was so ready, and so last night finally got her all cleaned up, and I was like, gosh, dude, it's a lot. Not like I did a lot of maintenance. My beard was everywhere. I didn't even touch my beard. I just let it go. And yeah, I feel like a little kid, but
yeah, mine, I'm still trying to get it.
Yeah. Hey, I can actually see yours now. That just shows you the last time I saw your face, CJ.
Yeah. And it's been, I haven't shaved since January.
Well, me and Jamie were talking about it. She was saying, she was talking to me last night. She goes, you know what's crazy? The last time you shaved, we were thinking about the last time I had actually shaved. And it had been since we were at the hotel, which is over 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So you're going on 6 months.
Yeah, it was a little after you. Yeah, it was a little.
Kind of. I mean, if you really think about it, you're going on.
I think I shaved in January, February. I am going to clean the outsides up so that I look more.
Yeah, and I didn't even do that. That was my problem. I had shit down here, CJ, that was like, oh, man, I would eat food and get hair. I mean, like, I would be biting my hair. Like, hair was coming into my mouth. I was like, this is disgusting. I'm done. Yeah,
we know. We have video of it. We have video with the hobo.
The hobo. That's the word I was looking for. That's the word I was going to say, but I was like, eh. But yeah, we need to get together, man. I miss your face.
Miss yours too. And
we've got to catch a Ranger game, man, pretty soon.
It's got to happen.
We got the Astros series coming up. Maybe we can get together for that.
Yeah. We'll do, bud.
It sounds like you're feeling better, which is good. So
yeah, last week sucked. It sucked.
Yeah. And, well, that's good, man.
But all right. Good to be back on. Good to be able to bring y'all whatever the hell it is that we bring y'all. Apparently, y'all enjoy it because we wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for y'all listening. So with that, we are going to sign off. Thank you for listening to the Ranger Report. And with that, Tyler.
Drop the deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Ranger Report podcast. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and at therangerreport.com.